Bill Flores joins us this morning. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Doing great. Good to be with you on News Talk 1620.
You know, I was having a look this morning at an article in The Hill, a website that watches things that go on in D.C. They seem to think that there really is a move in bipartisanship that we haven't seen in a long, long time, and that is certainly different than the way things have been. Do you see it that way right now?
Well, we have a little bit of a thaw on some things that are very important. For instance, the Medicare sustainable growth rate issue was became bipartisan. There are other things. Iran is a bipartisan issue. Israel is a bipartisan issue. So we're having a few odds and ends. I wouldn't say it's overwhelming just yet, but it's certainly better than it has been.
Sure. Let's take a look at last week. Now, of course, you had been a strong proponent of getting rid of the estate tax. That passed out of the House. Is that correct?
That's correct, on a bipartisan vote.
Okay. But obviously there still has to be something that goes on over in the Senate for us to be able to get that the law of the land.
We've got to have action in the Senate. I'm not exactly sure where the Senate is on this at this point in time, but we're by the time we talk next week, I'll have a better feel for that.
Sure. Let's have a look at some of the IRS legislation. You took some steps in the House about the IRS last week, right?
Yes, we did. We passed a few bills related to IRS behavior. For instance, there are a lot of IRS employees that have not paid their taxes. We passed legislation to deal with that. We also passed legislation to try to crack down on the targeting that the IRS was engaged with and when they were going after conservative groups. One other big issue for Texas is we passed a continuation of the deduction for state and local sales tax. That's huge. That puts Texas on the same, or Texans on the same economic footing that folks in other states have when the other state has an income tax.
Now, is that something that has to be renewed year in, year out?
Well, it was yes, when it was originally passed, and I don't remember exactly when, it was just passed on a short-term basis. It kept sunsetting. And so what we propose is a permanent extension of the deduction for state and local sales taxes until such time as we can have tax reform and then we can see what deductions ought to be included in tax reform.
Bill Flores joining us this morning from D.C. Big talk today, talking about not only today but tomorrow as well, that you'll be looking at some cybersecurity bills. There's some people who are obviously a little concerned about that because we understand certainly security breaches and information being stolen, but by the same token, maybe they don't feel too comfortable with the government necessarily being able to have access to some of these things.
Well, I think we've addressed all of the privacy concerns in the bills. There are a couple of provisions in the bills that are going to be on the floor this week that bother me a little bit, but Justin Amash has come up with an amendment. And we pushed to make sure that amendment was ruled in order so that we can vote on that amendment to the bill, to one of the bills, to deal with contract issues. And so I think if we can get that amendment into one of the cybersecurity bills, that we'll be okay. We will address every privacy concern and still dealt with what's a critical issue today, and that's cybersecurity.
Well, as one member of the body, kind of flesh out for me what you're uncomfortable about in that cybersecurity legislation.
Well, it's very broad. The one that was issued by the Homeland Security Committee said that, and I don't know exactly how to word this, but any breaches related to data, acceptable use agreements, contracts, and a bunch of other things are the person who has been breached can provide that information or should provide that information to the government after they've stripped out personally identifiable information. We're not sure that the acceptable use agreement or contract should be covered by this. And so, again, if there's a breach of other data, I think that's okay, but we just didn't see why the language should be so broad. You could tell that the language was written by a committee staffer instead of a member of Congress. Because it was overly broad, and they're trying to capture everything. So what we're trying to do is tighten language up in the Amash Amendment.
I guess the thing that makes people uncomfortable, for instance, earlier this week, the Wall Street Journal did a special section on security and how really the first wall should be with the individual and making sure that their computers can't be hacked. Now, obviously, if you go to a third party, a company, and they get hacked, now that's the company's concern. But still, I think people are concerned enough about the ability the government has to get their information that it does seem to be a top-shelf question.
Well, it is. But, again, I think we've dealt with that in the bills that are going to be on the floor this week, assuming that we get the right amendments included in the legislation to protect our privacy. But I will say this. There are, I mean, companies owe us a right, I mean, owe us, have a responsibility to keep our data, keep our data safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that, but the hackers have gotten really good. They're very sophisticated. And no matter how good your cyber defense is, there is a hacker out there that's going to find a way to get around it. And so we need to be able to have an early detection system and a way, a central clearinghouse, if you will, this time the government, to know what's happening so that we can get, for instance, the anti-hacking community, the defense community that stops this stuff, you know, whether it's McAfee or the other antivirus companies or anti-spammers, whatever, to be able to get that data back out to them so that they can start to close the holes where the hackers are coming through. And but at the same time, we've got to do it where our personal information remains private and is not in the hands of the government. And I think we've done that.
Bill Flores joining us this morning from D.C. Last week, really what we were talking about a lot was reconciliation. Where are we a week later now? Where is that process?
Well, the House and Senate budget conferees have been named. They had their first meeting on Monday. And my expectation is, based on my conversation with Tom Price, who's the House budget chair last night, he says that he thinks we'll have a conference report by the end of the week, so we'll have our budget. That still doesn't answer the question about where we're going to wind up with reconciliation. I've continued to reinforce, not only with Tom, the budget committee chair, but also with our leadership, that we think reconciliation ought to be narrowly focused toward Obamacare. I don't know where we're going to wind up on that, but we've made it pretty clear that the direction the Senate's going is a better direction than the way we went in the House.
Sure.
Also, if you go roll the clock back about 3 weeks when we had the budgets on the floor, the Republican Study Committee budget is very tightly focused to use reconciliation only for Obamacare.
And that brings me around to my final question. Of course, as most folks know, you're chairman of the Republican Study Committee. What's the agenda there? How are you headed today? And what's the short-line future look like there?
Well, in the near term, right now we're involved with appropriations. And we're the House is going to be doing appropriations bills between now and likely the end of July. And so the important thing for us to do is to try to get as many limitation amendments into those appropriations bills so we can stop the bad behavior of the regulator community up here. So I call it bureaucratic behavior modification. And what we're trying to do is to limit their ability to use federal funds to hurt the economy. So my office put in about 65 amendments into various appropriations bills, and we've got about 50 offices, 50 members of the RSC that have done the same thing.
Well,
hopefully we've clipped the ears and weeds of some of these regulators.
Oh, I like your phrase, bureaucratic behavior modification. We could probably put together a long list of those, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's just no end to them, and I think there's some other things. I mean, we've got a debt ceiling vote that's going to be coming up sometime this summer. We may be able to put some things in there so that, you know, if the president wants a debt ceiling increase, then he's got to agree to call the regulatory dogs off that are killing the economy today.
Sure. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thank you for the time this morning.
Well, I want to give one more shout-out if you got a second.
Please do.
Daniel Zivney from A&M Consolidated High School is going to be accepted to the Air Force Academy on an athletic scholarship, so we need to give a shout-out to Daniel, bright young man, and our Academy Review Board was very pleased to recommend that I nominate him for the Air Force Academy.
Excellent. That's always a good letter for a parent to get. All right, thanks a lot for the time, Bill.
Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.